Welcome to Season 2, Episode 4 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about the problem of not getting anything out of the assembly. As always, we're going to be focusing on what the Bible has to say about our topic. So I invite you to test all things in light of what the Scriptures teach. Let's get started. Psalm 122 and verse 1 says, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" In this verse, David expressed the attitude that we must have when it comes to assembling to worship the Lord, an attitude of gladness. The assembly of the saints ought to be something to which we look forward. Unfortunately, many do not look forward to this time. But rather than acknowledging their own poor attitude and making efforts to change their mindset, they often attempt to shift the blame to others. They'll say, "I'm just not getting anything out of the assembly." In their minds, using an excuse like this provides justification for them to complain, become sporadic in their attendance, or quit assembling altogether. So in this episode, we're going to focus on the attitude of one who claims to be getting nothing out of the assembly of the church. It is a dangerous attitude, and we must guard ourselves against it. First, there's a problem of perspective. When one complains about not getting anything out of the assembly, he demonstrates that he has a misplaced focus. This mindset elevates self above what one ought to think, that Paul warned about in Romans 12 and verse 3. Jesus said we are to put God first and others second. Matthew 22, verses 37 through 39, he said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." This principle of putting God and others ahead of ourselves applies to the assembly as well. We are to worship God, as Jesus said in John 4:24, that those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Worship him, recognizing that he is worthy of such worship. Revelation 4:11 says, "Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created." Besides that, we're told in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, that we come together, we assemble in order to encourage one another and stimulate one another to love and good deeds. When one chooses not to assemble because he doesn't get anything out of the assembly, he does two things. First, he fails to worship God as he should. Second, he fails to encourage his brethren as he should. And these two things should take precedence over anything we might get out of the assembly for ourselves. Now, of course, this does not mean that we should expect to get nothing out of the assembly. We'll discuss that point in just a few minutes. But we need to be sure our priorities are in order. Both God and our brethren ought to come before ourselves. And if our coming together in the assembly is for the purpose of worshiping God and encouraging our brethren, that alone should be enough for us to be there. Next, we need to understand what we do in the assembly. When we consider what we are to do in the assembly, it becomes clear that the focus is not on self. The acts described in the New Testament as being performed by the early church in the assembly were all focused on God, on the brethren, or both. So besides the general terms of worship, as we see in John 4:24, and encourage in Hebrews 10:25, what are we to do in the assembly? First thing we do is sing. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Singing is directed to both God and our brethren. Paul said we sing to God with thankfulness in our hearts. We also sing to our brethren in order to teach and admonish them through song. Second thing we do is pray. Acts 2:42 says that the early church was continually devoting themselves to prayer. Prayer is, of course, directed to God. We see that in many passages. However, there is also a benefit to the congregation, as prayer could be a source of instruction, encouragement, and also peace. In the prayer recorded in Acts 4, verses 24 through 28, we have an explanation of God's purpose in using the rulers to carry out the plan to have Christ offer himself on the cross for our sins. That prayer was instructive. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul talked about prayer being a source of encouragement. In verse 19, he said, "Pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel." Their prayers were going to aid him in his work in preaching the gospel. Also, Paul told the brethren in Philippi that as they offered prayers to God in Philippians 4 and verse 6, that the peace of God, which surpassed all comprehension, would guard their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer can be a source of peace as well for the congregation. Third thing that we do in our assembly is to preach or teach. In Acts 20 and verse 7, Luke records that on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day, and he prolonged his message until midnight. One who will preach the word, as Paul told Timothy to do in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, in the assembly directs his message toward his brethren. When everyone speaks as the oracles of God, as 1 Peter 4:11 tells us, his message is profitable to those who are listening to him. The word of God equips us for every good work, 2 Timothy 3:17 says. The word of God is profitable to us. So in addition to teaching and encouraging the audience, the preacher also brings glory to God. In that passage in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, in the New American Standard, it says, "Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God." And he goes on and says later in that verse that the purpose of this is so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We are not just preaching to encourage and to teach our brethren, though that is accomplished, but we're also doing so to give God the glory. Number four, in the assembly, we partake of the Lord's Supper. As Paul was writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 23 through verse 26, he said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." When we observe the Lord's Supper, we focus on God and the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Additionally, we also help remind our brethren of this sacrifice, as Paul said in verse 26 of that passage, that we proclaim the Lord's death when we partake. The fifth and final thing we see the church doing as far as worship in the assembly is giving. In 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, Paul said, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come. When we give of our means, we do so for God, as he loves a cheerful giver," Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. We also do this for the saints, as we see there in 1 Corinthians 16:1, and also 2 Corinthians 9:12 and 13, as others benefit from our contributions as we help the church be able to do the work that God has given it to do. Again, as we consider the things we are to do in the assembly, we see that our focus is not to be on ourselves and what we get out of it. Our focus must first be on God, and secondly, on our brethren. So finally, the question, should we get something out of the assembly? Absolutely, yes, we should get something out of the assembly. But what we get out of the assembly is a byproduct of what we put into the assembly. As we sing to teach and admonish our brethren, we are also taught and admonished as well, as Colossians 3:16 says. Through the prayers that are offered, we can obtain the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension, Philippians 4:7 says. When preaching is done, we learn or are reminded of the truth of God's word, as the one who is teaching is preaching the word, as Timothy was told to do in 2 Timothy 4:2. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are reminded of the sacrifice of Christ, as Paul explained in 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 26 that we noticed earlier. When we give, we have fellowship in the work of the church. This is the sharing or the fellowship that is mentioned in Acts 2 in verse 42. Also in Paul's letter to the Philippians in Philippians 4 and verse 15, he says, "You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs." When Paul was preaching the gospel, the church at Philippi gave to his support. The way they were able to do that was through the contributions that were made by the members in the church. When we give, we have fellowship in the work of the church. They shared with him in that effort. Our focus must be on worshiping God and encouraging our brethren, as we see in John 4:24 and Hebrews 10:24 and 25. And as a byproduct, we are also taught, admonished, reminded, and encouraged, things that we all need. So we do benefit from the assembly of the saints. So in conclusion, there may be times when we are truly not getting what we need out of the assembly, but it must not be due to a lack of effort on our part. The only time when this will truly happen will be when the church with which we assemble is simply not interested in serving God according to His Word. In that case, if we cannot help steer them back from the way, from where they have fallen, as Revelation 2:5 says, then we will eventually need to leave and find a congregation that is striving to follow the New Testament pattern, as Paul told Timothy about in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13. But if we feel as though we are not getting anything out of the assembly, we first need to examine ourselves and ask, what can I do? What can I contribute? And how can I help? As each part of the body works together, we will all be built up. Ephesians 4:16 describes the church as a self-edifying body with every part working together. We first need to focus on worshiping God according to His will and encouraging our brethren in the faith. And as we do this together in our various congregations, we will all benefit from our assemblies. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others. Next week, we'll be talking about the question, is taking time to worship a sign of laziness? Until then, I hope you have a great week.